Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a marketing guru from New Delhi, India, Shilpa Ajwani. Shilpa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Pleasure being here with you today.
Thank you. Shilpa is the CEO of Uno Mantra. They specialize in beauty and fashion, wellness and healthcare, food and beverages and home care, homeware. And she was also nominated as the CEO of the year from the Economic Times. So Shilpa, let's start with talking about Uno Mantra. Tell me about the background of this unusual name and what you do here.
So Ashutosh, Uno Mantra is a combination of two words, Uno and Mantra. Okay, so Uno, we know, means number one. Correct. I interpret that as being your best version. Mm-hmm. And mantra, we also understand, but in my world, it means strategy.
Okay.
So it's really the strategy to become your best version, mm-hmm. whether you are a leader or a brand or an organization. Mm. So Uno Mantra today works with consumer and lifestyle enterprises and helps them to scale faster using our very unique word positioning approach.
Okay.
And as the founder and CEO, I personally am very passionate about, I'm on a mission to create the next generation of iconic brands and organizations.
Wonderful, wonderful. So before I go any further, tell me a little bit about your own background.
Sure. So I have had a career of more than 25 years, have had the privilege of working with some of the best European and American multinationals, mm-hmm. and leading businesses from startup to scaling them profitably. Mm-hmm. My life has been, about consumers, with consumers, yeah. for consumers. And it was a very natural choice then, that having gained so much of experience and expertise working with multiple cultures, geographies, leadership styles, I wanted to distill all that knowledge and mm-hmm. wisdom and give it back in a way to the new age companies, mm. leaders and brands of today and tomorrow. And that's where I chose to become an entrepreneur at a much later stage. Mm-hmm. My last assignment in the corporate world was that of managing director for Tupperware brands in India. Mm-hmm. So since I've worked with purpose-driven brands all my life, I just felt that working on creating more purpose-driven leaders and organizations mm-hmm. is going to be my mission from now on.
Very interesting. So, when I was reading about you and you just mentioned it also, you use a word called purpositioning approach. Help me understand this with maybe one or two examples.
So purpositioning, and I'm so happy you got it right and it intrigued you. That is the whole idea mm-hmm. Behind it. It's again a combination of two words. It comes from purpose and positioning. And mm-hmm. I just put the two together. And it's really about creating a differentiated strategy as a leader for yourself or for your brand or organization, Ashutosh. Mm-hmm. And that differentiation comes from your purpose. Mm-hmm. And I very, very strongly feel that, purpose is an anchor mm-hmm. that can help us to really stay resilient amidst all storms.
Amazing.
And that is true for us as human beings, mm-hmm. as leaders, as well as for brands and organizations too. Mm-hmm. So why I brought in this whole idea of purpose in my consulting practice, I'm a business consultant, strategist myself. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was when I looked at businesses from outside in, I could see that many of them are doing wonderful work when it comes to the brand. Mm. Some do great work when it comes to people and culture. Mm. Some are really savvy when it comes to choices in go-to-market strategy. But there is a red thread which is missing. That's why we see silos. We see different departments and agencies being brought together, but they don't really have an umbrella which really can anchor them to really one common reason of why they exist, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where purpositioning was born. And it really means that really defining and then executing your strategy with purpose at the core. So we do purpose at the core. We built brand strategy around that, then people and culture around that, then your go-to-market. And then we help you to create brand love with creating a community that resonates with that purpose of yours.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, it's new, it's different. Yes, but so, it's effective.
Would you be able to give me one or two examples of how you started with the purpose and then built all the concentric circles around the purpose?
Absolutely. So in my entire career, since I've worked with purpose-driven brands, you know, the latest one was Tupperware, where we said that the lady we serve and the lady who goes out and is our brand partner is at the heart of who we are and why we exist, right? And everything was built around that. And I have seen that work so marvelously there, as well as now in my own consulting practice too. I write a lot about startups. So in fact, today I featured a startup called GoDesi, and I'll give you their example. Big companies like Unilever, Delta Airlines, we all know about their purpose, you know, and then how they are working with purpose as well. But I want to give an example of a small organization, a startup that is not even 4 years old today. So GoDesi is one of the fastest growing confectionery candy treats brand in India. In less than 4 years, they of course started bootstrap, they are funded now, but they started to sell and very quickly grew to having a presence in 15,000 stores, retail, physical stores, right? And the way they look at their purpose is to make desi cool, which means that they took all the traditional treats, confectionaries, candies. Ashutosh, you and I must have tasted while growing up. They were available outside of every school. The Imli Pops, right? The Aam candies. So they took all these indigenous treats and they kept their originality in terms of when they looked at, you know, where would they source them? So they work with farmers and they work with self-help groups from where they do their sourcing. And the self-help groups actually manufacture and produce these products. And they have been able to work with these women, train them so beautifully. So, you know, it's really about going back and supporting those communities and partnering with them. The brand also then said that we want to build an overall sustainable ecosystem. So it's not about just the farmers and, you know, the self-help groups. They said, how can we be sustainable for the consumers? And that's why they kept the original traditional recipes intact, did not really add preservatives. They're working with natural formulations over there, right? You look at their brand packaging, they want to keep it minimal. And they want to keep it as real as, you know, what we were used to. And they say that if you are sure of what is the product inside, the ingredient inside, you don't have to hide it under fancy packaging. Right. So that ethos then goes on to the brand strategy and then the people and culture strategy in terms of who they hire, who they work with, the people they surround themselves with. And then they said, we want to be sustainable for our investors as well, which means that we will burn less money while growing and scaling our brand. And of course, sustainable for ourselves, the consumers, and the entire ecosystem around us. So if you have purpose as your anchor, you see how you can layer everything on top of it. And there is no conflict between purpose-driven and profit-earning. So they combine.
Very well said. That, what a great explanation. Thank you for sharing this example of GoDesi. You also mentioned, Shilpa, that you have a process to determine the real needs of a business. Help me understand, what are real needs as you define them?
So real needs sometimes, you know, take a while, and that's why we actually have a process at Uno Mantra of arriving at those. Many times clients approach us saying that, oh, we are challenged with this and help us with this. But when you sit down with them, you realize that actually what they are seeing as the real challenge is only a symptom of what's brewing inside. So we have a four-step process. We call it the four Ds of defining our strategy at Uno Mantra. The first D, Ashutosh, is really discover. So we sit down with the clients, we sit down with all the important stakeholders, and it's a process of deep interviewing that we deploy just to understand where are they currently and to decipher the real challenges. Because when you speak with multiple stakeholders, you understand that, you know, different things come to you. So, so you start to decode a lot of what's really going on and what is ailing the brand or where the real challenge lies. The second is looking at diagnosing. So once we have discovered more or less the as-is situation, we look at diagnosing it with a whole lot of analytics, defining the, you know, what would really be the most impactful initiatives we can work together with that organization to make a difference. Basis that, we design something which is highly customized. That's the third B, design. And fourth is deploying, which also means not just executing the strategy, but running change management initiatives with that organization, because ultimately people have to implement any strategy. And many people forget that very essential part. So they'll have a great strategy and then they'll say, we are good to run with this. Thank you very much. But why doesn't it work in the real world? Because people who had to, you know, sort of go and deploy it weren't prepared for it. So we also hold the hand and help you manage change.
How interesting. So Shilpa, you know, you mentioned that you worked with very large corporations and now you work with a lot of startups. What is the changes you have had to make in your own outlook to strategy when you look at a startup as compared to an old established organization?
I think the first change was to really, you know, minimize my own scale thinking, right? Because also as a CEO, and you have been one as well, Ashutosh, you know that we operate at 30,000 feet, you know, worst case scenario, 3,000 feet. But it's so important to also once in a while look at the 30 feet scenario as well. So I think I was brought back to the early days of, you know, my career as well. And very fortunately, since I have had startup experience, I was part of the founding team that, you know, grew the Swedish brand Oriflame in the country. And we literally started out of a basement, my first job being buying myself a chair to sit on. So I have faced a startup reality myself, not once, but a few times. I have opened up new markets for these bigger companies as well, where again, we were very startup-like when we were entering a new emerging market. So I've had that experience and I had to go back and revisit that. The biggest lesson is, how do you do more with less? Less of financial resources, less of people resources, less access to the technologies that would be optimal at that stage for you because you just can't afford them or you don't know of them. So how do you do more with less? I think that's the biggest lesson.
Amazing, amazing. And now coming back to your mantra of purpositioning, when you work with a startup founder or set of founders, how do you work in supporting them to define their purpose? Because a lot of them have already got clarity in, we want to do this, and then they suddenly start to hit roadblocks.
Right.
When they call you in, how do you start the process of redefining?
It's such a beautiful question, and I'm so glad you have asked this, Ashutosh. So Uno Mantra started as a business strategy consulting firm, right? But halfway down the line, I had to add the vertical, which we now call as leadership advisory. And that came out of a very genuine need that one saw. So we went in and we were creating strategies. And then we realized that the person who is the founder, CEO, sometimes even the CXOs around them, they actually were becoming bottlenecks to scaling. So everybody wanted to scale. And we realized that till we scale this person on the top, you know, with all the good intentions in their heart, they will still be a bottleneck to scaling the business. So that's where we added the leadership advisory. A lot of founders started to come and say, Shilpa, we see the way you work with our companies. You know, we feel the same need. And many times I need to have conversations because I feel lonely. There are things which I cannot share with friends because they don't understand what I'm going through. Family will only get more upset. Why did I leave, a job and get into this silly startup business? Yeah. Right? Investors will panic that do they have the right person leading the business? If I can't manage myself, how will I manage the business? So I have to put on a show at times. We feel we can be real with you. You are on our side. And that's where we've had the most intimate, beautiful growth conversations. And again, the formula is the same because, you know, we all, 7 billion plus people on this planet are born with a unique purpose. I don't help them to find it. I don't help them to discover it. I help them to reveal it to themselves. So I'm a catalyst, Ashutosh, in helping people to reveal their purpose to themselves. I, of course, have a process.
Yeah,
we do conversations, exercises, a whole lot of visualization. I've got people to even draw. And, you know, so it's a crazy but very beautiful, very satisfying process. And it's so fulfilling for me personally the day I see that that person gets it. And you know, the spark in their eyes and the energy with which they enter their office, completely different. So
amazing.
I love that.
So my next question to you is a continuation from what you just said. A lot of people want to scale up. I think one of the big dilemmas of a lot of startup entrepreneurs is when should I start to scale up? You know, and I've often said to people that our country is so large that if you were to, you know, just look at the National Capital Region where both you and I live, you've got 23 million people as a potential market. Why do you have to go after the entire 1.4 billion? And yet everyone says, I want to be pan India, maybe pan global or whatever. True. What is your thought on when should a startup start to scale up?
So I think, you know, with the access to, I would say easier money, there is no easy money, but easier money, I think there's a whole lot of confusion around the right answer, because there are competitive pressures suddenly that startups perhaps weren't facing before. So it's really worked, you know, sort of keeping up with the Joneses that is creating all this frenzy of, you know, going to the 1.4 billion right away, right now, like yesterday. But my approach is a little bit like yours, Ashutosh, here, where I would say that it's classic. Some things are a given, that you need to have a product market fit. And for me, product market fit really comes, and there are some very tangible ways you can measure it, because it comes when you have the first, you know, consumers who start paying revenue to you. They are not your, you know, freemium or the free or highly discounted consumers, but they are the ones who actually pay you for your product.
Right.
And to me, the reality, that moment of truth, is when they come back to you after consuming your product or service once and they say, I loved it, I want to buy it again. So when you have a certain threshold of people who come back to you and they buy that product or service again, tells you that you are getting ready in a way to see traction. And I always tell people, don't go wide. Experiment with one or two channels. Become the king, you know, and identify your niche and see how you can dominate that niche by doing sensible traction strategies, right? And there's no rush. You will build this for a lifetime. If you build it right, it will stay beyond your lifetime, right? So, but it's like laying the foundation. If I'm in a hurry to build my house and my foundation is weak, I cannot build three floors, five floors, even one floor will not survive for too long.
Absolutely.
I build the foundation really well, I can build a skyscraper on top of it, right? So that's my approach very much. I also work with founders across three stages, the launch stage, the lift stage, and the leap stage.
Okay.
So these are the three stages as I define them, the launch, the lift, and the leap. And each of these stages require you to have a different mindset and different strategies on how you will deploy everything that's available to you to continuously look at scaling yourself. So That's my approach. Here, can I give you a quick example?
Sure, sure,
it's a
sure.
good example, and I wrote about it again today. So, you know, the Indian Festival of Colors, Holi, is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at brands which are making going desi be cool once again. So another mm-hmm. brand that I featured is actually called Lahori Zira. Mm-hmm. So they are based out of a small city called Chandigarh in North India.
Mm-hmm.
And three cousins got together about 5 years back.
Mm-hmm.
And they started these fizzy beverages, which are again based on traditional Indian flavors.
Mm-hmm.
This is so fresh in my mind, and I wanted mm-hmm. to share it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're so sensible. They said, Shilpa, we wanted to build a profitable business from day one.
Mm-hmm.
We are very traditional in that sense. We don't understand taking somebody's money, burning it all up and calling it a business.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that we actually went again offline first, tested our product. When consumers started showing so much of brand love that we were constantly sold out.
Mm.
That's where we said, okay, now we are ready to look at expanding manufacturing, expanding our geographic reach, expanding the whole reach out to investors.
Mm.
And they said we did not spend a penny on performance marketing or building our brand. Everything was word of mouth. We just focused on getting the product right and making sure the distribution was where the consumers would buy a product like this. Oh, so nice. That's a beautiful story. 5 years, they were not impatient. And this year, they would be 3x of what they were and 100% year-on-year growth for the last 3 years.
Incredible. Incredible. That's quite amazing. So Shilpa, I have time for one more question.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you this question based on all your corporate experience and as a consultant, as a startup advisor. Based on all your learnings from Uno Mantra and per positioning and, you know, everything that you have done for so many startup entrepreneurs, what would your advice be to a young entrepreneur who's starting off on her or his journey?
I would say the advice would be hold on to your dream. It is your dream. You have seen it for a reason.
Mm.
Yes, be humble, be open to feedback, take advice from everyone, but continue to nurture that dream and fuel it with all the passion that you can. There will be challenges, there will be setbacks, but from breakdowns only will become breakthroughs. It's a very satisfying journey. It may not give you the kind of wins or successes the way you imagined them to be. But what it will transform you into is someone amazing who's capable of taking on even bigger challenges, creating bigger things. An entrepreneur is a very special species. And if you've got the joy of thinking of becoming one, hold on to it. Don't give up too quick.
Amazing. On that note, and your comment, an entrepreneur is a very special species. Shilpa, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length about Uno Mantra and what is the meaning of Uno Mantra. Thank you for talking to me about your per positioning approach. Thank you for giving me some amazing examples of people you have been working with and you're writing about. So thank you for all that you have shared with my viewers and listeners. And good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh, and good luck to you as well. I absolutely have enjoyed, listening to your podcast. I think the ease with which you communicate and have these conversations is very, very interesting for me. Mm-hmm. And it's been my privilege to feature on your podcast. Wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.